listening to Magic From Wherever I'm At with your host, the magician, time traveler, and charmer, D'Artagnan.
Welcome to another edition of the podcast, Magic From Wherever I'm At. I'm D'Artagnan. And today we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that have happened to me on the street, you know, and sort of the kinds of street performers. So in my experience, there are sort of two kinds of street performers. There are street performers who choose to street perform, and there are street performers who could only basically street perform. And those are sort of broad sweeping generalizations, but for the most part, they'll hold fast if you investigate. So, you know, most of my friends who are magicians and work the street are people who have chosen, not all, but who have chosen to work the street. Some of the other friends I've had have never worked any other venue or anything. So, you know, but they're choosing to do street magic. Now, it's always a choice, of course, to do out street magic, but I'm talking about in terms of, you know, would this person be able to get another job or be welcomed into another venue? And that's sort of the other half of the street performers, which is like, no, they couldn't. Because street performing is like a free and open thing for the most part. You can just go out there and perform. You can do it. I mean, you can let the public be the arbiter, you know, but in terms of like the way you conduct yourself and stuff, you probably wouldn't be welcomed in another venue. You know, the way you dress, perhaps, or the language you use, all these type of things. And usually when there's trouble with street performing, it's always that second group that is the problem. The people who didn't really choose to be out there. I mean, they choose to actually street perform as opposed to doing nothing or doing something else as a job. But they wouldn't be working in another venue, okay? They wouldn't be welcome in another venue. And this is where all the trouble with street performing stems. You know, a lot of this has to do with, like, there's an etiquette to street performing amongst street performers. And this is usually especially extended amongst the people who choose to street perform over performing in another venue. But it doesn't always extend to that second group of people who only street perform and wouldn't be welcome elsewhere. And that's therein lies some issues. So there's a lot of people in that second group who have ruined all sorts of cities for street performing. And I would be, and it's a shame, you know, that that's the case. And some of these people are even talented, I would say, but they just have no sense of community. They have no sense of the people around them. They just don't care. They have no respect for other people by and large. And this is where cities have had to step in and regulate some of this stuff, and to some degree driving people out completely, is because the people in the second group don't have a brain when it comes to street performing. Now, I have witnessed people doing all sorts of things on the street which are super cool, and the people were super talented. But some of these very same people I would put in that class are also people ruining cities for street performing. You know, bucket drumming is a very popular, in some places, form of street performing. You know, I met a great 10-year-old kid in Nashville one time who did bucket drumming. Unfortunately, bucket drumming is one of those things, because of the nature of its acoustic, you know, levels, which often makes it very hard for other performers to work cities where there's been bucket drumming, because bucket drummers have destroyed the goodwill with the citizens living there. You know, when people find it necessary to enforce regulations or create regulations, noise is generally one of the big aspects. And bucket drumming by its very essence is loud, like a loud cacophony that echoes, you know. And a lot of these guys are actually can play the drum. I mean, again, they're very talented. They keep a beat. Some of the stuff I've seen people do are fantastic. But it's really an exceptionally poor choice for street performing, because you are just smashing those acoustics all over the place. And in like a downtown area where the businesses are and the people live in condos up high and stuff, and you got the stuff reverberating off of taller buildings. I mean, it just creates such a noise that it irritates a lot of people. And a lot of business owners don't like that, you know? Now, I'm just starting with bucket drumming because that is one of the things that has ruined a lot of cities for street performers in general. Because once they have to pass regulations to regulate those people, it applies to everybody. You know, they can't like say, oh you can do, unplugged acoustic set here, but this bucket drummer can't work. I mean, they just have to make wide sweeping regulations. And the second sort of aspect of this is people who use amplification. Like, in my opinion, if you don't have to use amplification, you're doing every street performer a disservice for using amplification. Now, if you're only using it a little bit to just get your voice up a notch, because there is, you know, there's a lot of noise on the street. Yeah, but I've rarely seen people using it appropriately. You know, my mentor, Eric Evans, has this like amazing sound system. He turns it up just barely to get his voice just, just slightly clearer and reaches, you know, a couple more feet maybe, you know. But for the most part, there's people using these, they're blaring music, you know, out in front of businesses. They turn it up.
I hope you've enjoyed this teaser of Magic from Wherever I'm At. To listen to this entire episode and the entire series of more than 150 other episodes, go over to magicfromwherever.com/podcast. That's magicfromwherever.com/podcast.
Tired of being a trickster, are you not?